The last time we had talked, it became up just before the war years, and you had mentioned that you were living in Navy housing at that time.
Yes.
Where was the housing located again?
It's in the Navy housing project on Santa Fe Avenue, or it's adjacent to Santa Fe Avenue, mm-hmm. between Pacific Coast Highway and Willow, mm-hmm. and it's unfurnished. The apartments are unfurnished. They are duplexes. And they can be arranged so that one side of the dwelling is one bedroom and the other side is three bedrooms. Or it can be two bedrooms and two bedrooms. Mm-hmm. The offices are in the project. The maintenance crew works out of the project. Mm-hmm. There's a chapel there. Mm-hmm. And it's and all through the years, for instance, it's the project. The first apartment was built in about the last part of 1940. Mm-hmm. So you see it now, it's 40 years old.
Mm-hmm. So these were brand new.
Brand new. Mm-hmm. I was the first tenant on my side.
Mm-hmm. So now you had mentioned before that you moved in when your husband was away, and
yes.
then he came back and found out.
In a state of shock when he found out. He came to the old apartment, and my letters had not reached him. The ship was in transit from Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. And so when he came to the apartment where we had been living, I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And so the landlady, of course, gave him a note that I had written. And he came out by cab. Absolutely couldn't believe that I had made such a move without consulting him. Mm-hmm. And the terrible thing was that we had gone into debt. I'd gone to Montgomery Ward and bought furniture.
Okay.
And this he just simply could not accept.
Uh-huh.
So, but he finally came around.
So what year was that about that he...
That was, let me see, probably, I would say in March 1941.
41, mm-hmm. Huh? And how long was he home then before he shipped out again?
He was home... until about June, 3 months. And he learned to love it. He mowed the lawn. He took trash out. It was his home, too. And he was so happy with it. Then the ship went to San Francisco, and I followed him, mm-hmm. and we visited there. Then I had to go. I went back to the Navy housing. And it seems to me that at that time, the Navy was in the process of operating more and more ships were gone for longer periods of time, and more ships were leaving. And I don't know if it was something that the Navy Department suspected. I just had no idea, but the ship was gone. Then, I think the ship went back to Pearl Harbor. And then the next I heard was that the ship was making a goodwill visit to Canada. Mm-hmm. And that was up in Victoria. Well, my home was up in the Seattle area. So I took this opportunity to go home and visit with my family until the ship arrived in Victoria.
Now, when was that?
That was in September.
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 This is a 41. What was the name of the ship?
USS Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
A battleship.
Uh-huh.
One of the larger ships in the fleet.
Mm-hmm.
So, the ship went to San Francisco or to Victoria, but meanwhile, I had planned probably on taking a bus. I don't remember how I planned on going up there, but I received a phone call from a woman by the name of Bailey, Margaret Bailey, mm-hmm. and her husband was a shipmate of my husband's. My husband was Maxie, her husband was Jerry, and so she called me on the phone. And I knew who she was by my husband talking about her. So she has a car, had a car, and a little boy and little girl, little Mikey and little Sandy. And she wanted to know, no, she said that Maxie had asked her to call mm-hmm. me, or had told her husband to write to me, mm-hmm. To call me, to ask if I would like to go with her up to Victoria. Well, I was very pleased, very happy. I liked her, and I liked the children. So we drove up, and we arrived on September the 4th, 1930. This was in 1939. Oh, I have to backtrack.
Okay.
This was in 1939, September the 4th, 1939,
mm-hmm.
and it was the day that England declared war on Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So they very nearly didn't let the ship come into port because Canada is being a dependent of England.
Mm-hmm.
But
and it was a battleship. So,
yes.
Yeah.
So, and they didn't let the ship come into port, but they did let the men have liberty.
Mm.
So I believe that we spent 3 or 4 days up there, and it was just had a beautiful time. Victoria is a lovely city. I'd never been there before.
Mm-hmm.
Very British. I remember we went into the tea rooms, and it was a chain like our Manning's used to be in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
It was called the B Tea Rooms. And I remember that in the tea rooms they had little tables with marble tops and little like ice cream chairs, probably 4 around the table. And we sat there, we'd ordered tea and scotch. They call it scones, scotch scones,
mm-hmm.
with a marvelous raspberry jam.
Mm-hmm.
And Margaret and I were sitting there just enjoying this. And then I noticed the men, the British or the Canadian men coming in to the tea room with their ulsters on and their hats, and how they hung their hats and their coats mm-hmm. on like tree hangers. And then there were newspapers that they picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And they picked up their tea, and a scotch scone, sat down and read the paper. It was a very different atmosphere than we have in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, September 1939 is when this was.
Mm-hmm.
And Pearl Harbor wasn't until 2 years later,
mm-hmm.
actually 22 months. But of course, the situation changed, I'm sure, here in with the fleet and with the operating forces in that 2 years. So you see, it was after that then that the ship did a lot of operating.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after that that I moved into the Navy housing.
Okay.
Yes.
So you'd been living in the apartment when you driven up to
yes.
CM in Victoria.
Yes.
And then you came back down, and it was after that, seeing him up in Canada.
Yes.
You came back down, and he was home, though.
Yes, intermittently.
Intermittently.
And then he went to Pearl Harbor, and there was a lot of operating.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he came back, I had moved into Navy housing.
Mm-hmm.
So he arrived probably in March 1941.
Mm-hmm.
And about in June, the ship went to San Francisco, and that's where I met him and saw him for the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Then the ship left from San Francisco and went back to Pearl Harbor for operations.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that was in, say, June. So the ship didn't come back for almost 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in Navy, I was in Navy housing. And then I remember that, as a matter of fact, I had made plans to go to Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ship wasn't coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my ticket, reservations, everything ready to go. And then, of course, when Pearl Harbor came, then that was mm-hmm. that.
Now, was that going to just be a visit in, say, December, or was that...
No, yes, probably in January.
Mm-hmm.
Probably in January.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the latter part of December.
So you had planned to go over there and visit him
yes.
there in Hawaii.
Yes, because the ship wasn't coming back.
Uh-huh. Was, did you... worry, say, I mean, with news of the war in Europe, that anything
no,
would happen?
No, never dawned on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody, especially Washington,
mm-hmm.
had no idea that this particular thing was happening. Although, in reviewing, I have all of Maxie's letters, I have boxes of them, and the ones that were just preceding Pearl Harbor, there are some where he made comments that, I think he said, I think we're trusting the Japanese too much. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised at what things may happen. Or, in other words, I think he really felt that something was coming up.
So there was a sense of...
Yes,
mm-hmm.
he had a, but that didn't, it didn't frighten me or upset
yeah.
me unduly. I thought there was nothing that they could do that our own Navy couldn't handle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's the way I felt about it, but no, I didn't worry.
Mm-hmm. So when was the first time you had any news of the attack? You knew he was at Pearl Harbor. So
I knew
he was
at Pearl Harbor.
Station.
It was Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
and it was 8 o'clock, and I think I'd gotten up quite early, and I had long hair then. I could sit on it. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting on the edge of my bed, combing my hair and brushing it. And I was aware that out in the kind of the back of the, where the all of the duplexes were, there was a parking area back there. And I was suddenly became aware that some of the neighbors, my neighbors, the men who were washing cars and maybe changing oil and so on, that I just happened to look out, and there was kind of a, they had such peculiar positions. They were standing so still, and just not moving. Mm-hmm. And I was aware there was a car radio on, and but I couldn't hear it, so I turned on my own, and that's when I heard that Pearl Harbor had been attacked at 8 o'clock that morning. And the duplexes, the back doors faced on each other. In other words, my back door, I had to walk across kind of a space and then knock at or my neighbor was at her back door, was right there. Mm-hmm. And so I went next door, and it was the same girl, she and I had driven up to Victoria together. She just happened to live in the next project, or in the next housing unit to me. Mm-hmm. And she was washing dishes and did not have the radio on. Mm-hmm. So I remember that I told her, and she turned towards me, and we just joined hands and both sat down in chairs, just sat there in absolutely blank amazement and disbelief. Couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't long after that, just a matter of, maybe 20 minutes, that these trucks were coming through, Navy trucks with bullhorns sounding that all men are to return to the base. And husbands were running out of the back doors with maybe just a jacket over their shoulder. And that was the last they were home. Some of them never came back.
Mm-hmm. So initially it was just sort of had a numbing effect.
Absolutely. Right? Just mm-hmm. absolutely state of disbelief. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the next day, President Roosevelt declared war, mm-hmm. and then we were in it.
Mm-hmm. And at this time, you still had no word on what had happened?
No. Mm-hmm. The only thing we knew almost right away was that the Oklahoma had turned upside down, and in the first 8 minutes of the attack, and was there she was, mm-hmm. and the Arizona was sunk right where she was moored in port in Pearl Harbor.
So how long was it before you learned things like that?
They were in the papers and on the radio right away, almost right away.
Uh-huh. So you spent a lot of time, I imagine, just listening to the radio or trying
and then talking to other girls. It was said that there were 400 families in Navy housing at that time. Mm-hmm. And outside of a very few men who had what they call shore duty right over at Terminal Island, I don't know, I wouldn't even hazard a guess, but the saying was that there were well over 325 prospective widows in Navy housing when Pearl Harbor occurred. In other words, the men were gone, and nobody knew for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, I remember reactions of women in housing. I've always been a very upbeat person, maybe Pollyannish, but I had just that positive feeling that something good had happened and that Maxie maybe had been ashore that night. But, for instance, a girl that lived just in the next unit from me, and she had a couple of kids, maybe three. Mm-hmm. And she was the type that her husband was gone. She really didn't know. Mm-hmm. But she said if anything happened to him, she was going to kill herself and the children, mm-hmm. that she could not go on, that absolutely couldn't face up to it. Mm-hmm. Her husband came back, and so many of us, they didn't.
Yeah. So was that, what would you say was, generally, how were women reacting?
The atmosphere in we certainly had something in common. Mm-hmm. And you could just look at somebody and know what they were thinking. If I remember right, we used to, several things were happening very fast. Mm-hmm. The Navy Relief Society, which is the equivalent of a Red Cross in an area. The Navy Relief Society preferred aid right away. We were to, anybody who needed money or were to go down there to Navy Relief. The chaplain wanted to see us. Mm-hmm. So I probably went with Margaret down there almost immediately because we had no money. In those days, very few women had what they call allotments. There was no money coming. Like today, you have allotments that are set up by the government, and mm-hmm. so that your families, your military families, every month they receive a certain sum, and so there's no hassle about money. Mm-hmm. But we had no money except just maybe something that somebody might have saved. And a lot of people live payday to payday, you might say. Mm-hmm. So we went down, almost right away. I went down with Margaret, my friend. And everybody sat around. It just was unbelievable. The atmosphere, the feelings, the thoughts, and grief, mm-hmm. not knowing. So I remember that I had a little money in the bank. And so I believe that Navy Relief, they gave me $50. And, of course, that would have lasted me a long time because my rent was only $11 a month. Mm-hmm. And then, and then the chaplain's office, well, I know we went probably more for a little moral support there. And then this was December the 7th. And on the... I believe on the 21st, I received a telegram stating that he was missing in action. And I don't know about now, but in those days, when you received a telegram, it was hand-delivered. Mm-hmm. If it was ever bad news, there was a star on the front of it. That could be military or... And, of course, mine had a star on it. And it, the telegram stated that he was missing in action. And it was... from the Secretary of the Navy, and every effort, of course, was being made to, and they would let me know as soon as, and so we're just, and of course, Merry Christmas. It was just awful. Mm-hmm. And then it was probably the early part of January, and that would be about 2 or 3 weeks. Then we were again contacted, all of the girls. Incidentally, the Navy Housing Office told us that not to pay rent and just, you know, that not to worry about anything financially at this time. And I think I had a very small bill at probably maybe a jewelry store downtown, or maybe I was still buying furniture, I don't know. But the stores in Long Beach were wonderful. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, the word, it was in the newspapers and on the radio, that the women were not to be concerned about any debts because in time, when things were straightened out and income started coming in, then they could, you know, repay. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have any pressure like that. Mm-hmm. And then we received word that that one of the defense plants, Lockheed, they wanted women to start working in defense as riveters. And... I don't know how it, yes.
I was going to say, to backtrack a little on that, when you had spent then the whole month of December without, pretty much without any kind of sense of what would happen next then.
And, that's right.
And there were, how many, do you know roughly how many women, you said there were 325.
Prospective
women who might have been in that
yes.
same position. And did that, was it like that throughout that month?
No, I'm sure that it just as soon as, because the statement was, at the moment of Pearl Harbor, there were 325 prospective widows. Mm-hmm. But then women began to get messages from their husbands, the ones that were lucky, mm-hmm. Maybe from the Navy Department. Mm-hmm. Because some men were wounded, they were in hospitals over there, mm-hmm. and so I'm not sure when it sifted down how many actual widows there were, mm-hmm. but I believe that when it all boiled down, there were about 48 that were just out-and-out widows. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's about right. Mm-hmm. So it was about, say 50 out of 400. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty good proportion.
Yeah. But for, so when the, when all this was happening, you were saying that you, everyone felt they had something in common and you could tell.
Oh yes, there was a bond.
Were, so did people spend a lot of time giving support to each other, or was there, was it more of a thing where no one really wanted to?
No, I think that what happened is that up to this time, before Pearl Harbor, living in the project, probably your next door neighbor was your confidant, your friend, the one you talked to,
mm-hmm.
and also in housing there may have been one or two other women whose husbands were on the same ship.
Mm-hmm.
That gave you a common bond.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in that I had no children, I was in a little different category than, I'm sure the women with children felt far differently than I did, because they had, their lives were really complicated with thoughts
mm-hmm.
of having to support and raise children by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And in my case, it was just the blinding loss of my husband. We'd been married 3 years and 3 months minus 3 days, and that was our married life together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but there was just this, there was a togetherness, that a bond that no words were necessary, just
mm-hmm.
when you're around somebody whose husband was either missing in action or who had been widowed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were always so happy for those who had heard from their husbands, and we knew they were okay.
Mm-hmm. So how did you, or where did the offer, how did that offer from Lockheed reach people? Was that just generally publicized?
No, I think it was, no. It was transmitted probably through the chaplain's office.
Mm-hmm.
And the Navy wives were a target group for Lockheed. As far as I know, we were among the very first.
Mm-hmm.
And they were more or less what you'd call, they, I think they termed it taking a chance, that we would pass certain tests of dexterity with our hands, that we knew enough to put a square peg in a square hole instead of a square peg in a round hole.
Mm-hmm.
And it was publicized. It was in Life magazine. It was in the Los Angeles Times. It was in the whatever the press telegram was called in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went. We were notified as to the time we were to go down to Navy housing, and then we filled out the forms, sort of applications,
mm-hmm.
and then taken by bus up to headquarters at Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
And that we had our examination, our
mm-hmm.
test, and of course everybody passed. And then we were told the date to go to work, and the job was at, it used to be the old, not the Essex, but an old car company, and I thought it was Essex, it's something else. But at any rate, it was converted into this, an aircraft plant, factory. And
so when you first heard about it, it was through the Navy chaplain's
yes,
office?
And they notified each of us personally.
Now, do you remember like where you were and everything when that, when they notified you? Or
no, not exactly.
Uh-huh.
I think probably it was in the morning mail.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the word spread like wildfire among us. It was something happening. And the main thing was extra income.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think by this time, Washington had started allotments for us, and I received, I believe it was $50 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of a kind of a stopgap, although candidly that's about what my husband was earning, $50 a month, and he worked in the laundry extra, and that gave him a $25 extra. So really, I wasn't affluent, but it was all right. I was all right financially.
Mm-hmm.
So then
this was in around January?
This was probably, it was shortly after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I may not have received an allotment right away, but it was right, just about that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think later they increased my pension to maybe $60, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
So then we started work, well, I'll put it this way. I received the first paycheck I ever received in my life, February the 13th, on a Friday. And the same day when I got home, there was the death message with two stars. So it was a very mixed reaction, earning my first paycheck and knowing that my husband was out of the picture completely.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long had you been at Lockheed when that happened?
We started working probably, well, it was my first paycheck, so probably been there 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe about the end of January, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Because we received a check probably around the end of January.
So you were, you had probably then heard about this job in January of 42?
I would say so.
Yeah, and they had you, well, people were notified, you think, by mail, then not personally contacted by the chaplain? Or
oh, I think maybe even the Navy housing manager had been notified.
Uh-huh.
Some way we were notified very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, that during those very, very difficult times, in a way, it was, everybody made it so easy as they could for us.
Mm-hmm.
We were notified, there was no rough treatment whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And every effort was made to help us financially. We had free medical attention. I think they might have come to the door. It might have been by letter through
mm-hmm.
Navy housing, and everybody was notified about the same time. We were given ample time to take for our examination,
mm-hmm.
and then when we had passed it, by then a date was set up to start working, and then we started in that Lockheed plant number 4,
mm-hmm.
and from Navy housing you went up. Probably over to Long Beach Boulevard, then it was called American Avenue, and we went straight up American Avenue to Gage, which is in Maywood, and then you turned east, and maybe it was a mile,
mm-hmm.
and there was the plant.
Mm-hmm. So the plant was the Lockheed Maywood plant.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When you were notified that there was this possible job, do you remember what your feelings were about taking? Did you think long about it, or did you?
Oh no, just immediately.
Mm-hmm. Immediately, it was just a chance to have
income. And of course something to do.
Mm-hmm. Now by this time you had spent what, over a month, not in that sort of
kind of a state of limbo.
Limbo. Yeah.
Yes.
And so this was just an opportunity to be an actor. What basis was it offered to you? Was it offered to you as a chance for these women to support themselves, or I mean, how was it sort of
income principally?
Mm-hmm.
I think income, because many of them had children.